We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present. Unbelievable happenings as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
Many people have seen ghosts and reported incredible experiences from the realm of the spirit world. Who can tell what this young man will see as he falls deep into a trance?
Welcome to After Dark Radio with your host, Ryan Alvarez.
And here we are. It is After Dark Radio. It is November 22nd, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And what does that mean, November 22nd, 2013? What it means is today is, in fact, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And as a result, tonight, it is our JFK assassination special here on After Dark Radio. Now, we've done a JFK show before, and I'm not going to lie, it was no good. I thought a lot of people would be calling in, talking about the conspiracy, or lack thereof, and it would be a fulfilling, fun, exciting program. Instead, I think a couple of people called in, and that was it. I was left talking about the JFK assassination all by myself, and honest to God, I am not the best person to be arguing this one way or the other. I've read a lot about the JFK assassination in my day. However, I would not even come close to considering myself like a historian or anything like that. And there are a lot of odds and ends as it regards the JFK assassination. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of people. And a lot of people are very good at remembering the names, the dates, all of the various details that go along with each conspiracy theory. That's not me. That's not my forte. However, it is interesting to me. And in fact, I've got an article that I'm going to read later that kind of encapsulates my own skepticism, not just about the JFK assassination, but about a lot of conspiracies in general. It was a very interesting article. It is up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now in our weekly After Dark preview. You can go up there and check that out. I'll read a little bit of it later on. But what we're going to do today, it is the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. So obviously, we've got to talk about the JFK assassination on this show. Now, since it is not my personal strong suit, what I have done is I have put out a request on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. I put out a request for people who felt that they could debate this topic. I put out a request for a pro-conspiracy debater and an anti-conspiracy debater. And I asked anybody who was interested to send me a short, brief resume why you think you are the best person to talk about this situation on the air, one way or the other. And I got two individuals, and we're going to have a debate. I got Tom Filsinger and Ryan Thompson. And I'm going to introduce both of these men here in a moment. But they are going to pick sides, and they both have a side that they strongly believe in. Tom Filsinger believes that there was a conspiracy. And Ryan Thompson is firmly convinced that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. And so we are going to bring these two men on the air, and I'm going to give them a chance to debate this topic. I don't know how long it's going to last, may only last 5-10 minutes. I don't know either individual. I have never spoken to them before in my life. And we're going to see how it goes. Hopefully, it will remain civil. It is possible with any debate, particularly regarding a subject like this, that maybe tempers will flare. But hopefully that's not the case. I don't want people talking all over each other. I want this to be a nice, clean debate on the JFK assassination. Was it a conspiracy or not? So we're going to have that debate here in just a moment. And then, later on, as always, we are going to take your phone calls and emails, open lines, any topic under the sun. Hopefully some people will call about JFK, but I presume we'll just have some regular open lines here tonight. And I'm going to read some emails, and I have got a number of interesting news articles to talk to you about as well, all of which are linked up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So we'll talk more about that here in a bit, as well as some notes from my trip to Hawaii. After Dark Radio was live from Kauai, Hawaii last week. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And it should be a good time. So without further ado, here on the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination, it is time for the great debate, conspiracy or not. So everybody hold on one moment, and I will get our participants here on the line. All right, we are back here on After Dark Radio, and it is time for our debate. And I'm very excited about this debate. I have never had a debate on the show. This is the, I guess I've had debates with Dave, but hosting a debate, I believe, is something new. So this should be a fun time. On one line, we have Ryan Thompson, who is here to debate this JFK assassination, and he is anti-conspiracy. He believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He has studied the subject quite a bit. He has read Jesse Ventura's new book, which he finds, and I quote, absolutely ridiculous. And we'll talk to him a little bit about that as well a little bit later on. And he is going to be on the side of anti-conspiracy. And arguing conspiracy is Tom Filsinger, who also just happens to be, as a website tie-in, the owner of Filsinger Games. There's a lot of wrestling games and such, and he is going to argue that a conspiracy was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And first off, Ryan, how are you doing today?
Doing very great, Brian. How are you?
Not too bad. And Tom, how are you doing?
Good overall, although, of course, it's a sad day, being the anniversary of President Kennedy's death.
That's right. 50 years to the day of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And Tom, I wanted to add here that, in fact, you have written a couple of papers arguing your point. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. That goes back to the 90s, around the time of the JFK movie by Oliver Stone. So it's a ways off, and I don't claim to be a great expert, but at that time I did, yes.
That's right. An associate professor of psychology at Jamestown. Is that correct?
Right. That's right.
This should be very interesting. So what we're going to do here is we're going to try and keep this a very civil argument, obviously. Try not to have everybody talking all over themselves, but things happen. Things could get heated. Who knows? But we'll do the best we can. What I would like to do is start with Ryan. Ryan believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. And before we get into any part of the debate here, I just want to give you a couple of moments to talk a little bit about Jesse Ventura's book. And what you thought, a quick Todd's Odds book review on the JFK assassination book by Jesse Ventura.
Well, as we all know, Jesse has a way of kind of trying to get his point across and not really listening to other sides of the argument, as we know. And I won't lie, I read the book. I called it, as you said, absolutely ridiculous. I just think that he changed a lot of facts about a lot of things just to benefit his own argument. And I don't have them right in front of me right now. I'm not at home, but I had made like a list of some things that I couldn't factually verify and some things that I could factually verify that were incorrect. So, you know, it's just like anybody that tries to get a point across, they kind of change it the better.
Sure. Now, yeah. Now, Tom, first off, have you read Ventura's book or not?
Yes.
What did you think of the book?
I think it's okay as far as assassination research books go. I think that, you know, this is an area that it's not Jesse's fault. It's not anybody's fault except for the people who have given us an official story where the facts are muddled. And the facts are muddled because from day one, there has been a cover-up of the true facts. And that started right before the Warren Commission was even formed. It has been during the Warren Commission. A book just came out this year that is a good one by Phil Shannon. I don't know how to pronounce his name for sure, which exposes even more of the non-objectivity of the Warren Report and what the CIA held back and what the FBI held back and what the Secret Service held back. Things are still being held back. So Jesse's at a loss to come up with perhaps everything he'd like to. And that's the problem that we're all having with this.
All right, now we'll be back to you in a moment, Ryan. I want to ask Tom. Now, you are pro conspiracy, but as you are both aware, I mean, if you ask 10 people who are pro conspiracy, it's possible that you will get 10 different explanations as to what the conspiracy is. And so, before we go any further, Tom, in your opinion, what are the circumstances of this conspiracy? What happened?
Again, what I'd love to be able to tell you. What I try to stick to is the facts as they are known. And what you have to do in this case is follow the cover-up. You have to ask yourself, okay, why do we have a situation, let's say, where the CIA has held back for years that they knew more about Oswald than they let on? Why did the FBI hold back that information about Oswald? You can only, unfortunately, try to pull. It's like having a puzzle where you don't have all the pieces. You try to find a pattern, and you theorize about that pattern. Roger Stone just wrote a book. He worked for Richard Nixon, and he claims that Lyndon Baines Johnson was the mastermind behind it.
Sure.
Well, see, that's the problem with this. So, you know, everybody's got a certain number of puzzle pieces and tries to come to a conclusion. The only conclusion I feel very confident reaching is that something is being covered up for a reason. Usually people don't lie if there's something innocent behind it.
So at the end of the day, the bottom line is you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think there's a possibility that he was the person who shot. I do not believe that there wasn't anybody behind him or part of a planning operation with him. And that's basically what Secretary of State John Kerry just said only 2 weeks ago. He does not believe Oswald acted alone. In other words, that there may have been somebody behind him, even if he was shooting. I cannot solve the problem if he was the only shooter. There are doubts about that also. But there are no doubts that there's more to Oswald than we've been told.
All right. Ryan, in your opinion, is there, as a person who believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, do you believe that there could be more to the story than the official story, in the sense that perhaps he was, as he noted, a patsy, a pawn in a game?
Well, from everything I've read and everything I've determined, and again, I don't have the answers. None of us have the answers. But from everything I've read and everything I've determined, I can't say 100%. I believe that he acted by himself, yes. I think this was just one rogue man that, for whatever reason, wanted Kennedy out of the picture. Is it possible? Well, of course it's possible, because none of us know. None of us know whether he acted by himself or not, and we're never going to know. But in my opinion, he acted by himself, and I think that there's, for every conspiracy theory, I think that there's a piece of evidence that can counteract that conspiracy.
All right, Tom, is there as someone who is pro-conspiracy, And granted, there are all sorts of supposed facts and such that people have brought up, the supposed magic bullet, everything like that. Is there one piece of evidence or one circumstance that you can point to that you feel is the best evidence that there is something conspiratorial about the situation?
Well, I'll give two.
All right.
One's broad and one's specific. One is the very fact of the cover-up. I'll say again, you don't need to cover something up unless you're trying to hide something. The FBI, a month before the assassination, knew that Lee Harvey Oswald was impersonated in Mexico City. That's no longer just another lone nut. That was reported by J. Edgar Hoover to Lyndon Johnson after President Kennedy was assassinated. So the FBI is aware that Lee Harvey Oswald is being impersonated by somebody. Now, a month before, another memo that has been released only recently as a result of the result of Oliver Stone's JFK movie and the Freedom of Information Act, the CIA, and this is really relatively shocking, I believe, in October of 63, was monitoring Oswald, and their documentation said that Oswald was maturing, quote-unquote. So what we have here is the FBI and CIA clearly monitoring somebody. Clearly something is odd and suspicious about this person. And yet a month later, allegedly, he's allowed to be in an office building and take a shot at the president. Something doesn't add up there. Okay, that's one is the cover-up.
All right, let's hold on the second one here. Ryan, your thoughts on those two situations that the CIA, the FBI, they were aware of Oswald and were monitoring him in early 1963.
Okay, they were monitoring him and they were aware of him, but being aware of someone, I mean, this is America, and they call it a free country. Someone you're monitoring, you can't just arrest them and bring them in for preemptive purposes. You can't do that. I mean, maybe they were monitoring him, and I don't think anybody thought he would go to these lengths, that he would actually shoot, President Kennedy three times, well, twice. But it was just as far as that aspect of it, I think it's just that they were monitoring him. But again, we've monitored people all throughout the years about different things. I mean, I don't want to get into anything other than the Kennedy debate, but I mean, we had been monitoring, the people that were responsible for 9/11. We knew they were here, but we didn't do anything to stop them. So, that would be my response to that. We didn't stop them. That doesn't mean that there's a government conspiracy about it. It just means we didn't have all the evidence.
So your argument is that they were monitoring him because he was a questionable character. And Tom, your argument, because of the statement that they found that he was maturing, your theory is that they were monitoring him because perhaps he was involved in something with them.
I think that is something that could be possible. In other words, first of all, both organizations hid this information from the Warren Commission. So that ought to, already you're into a suspicious area. But in addition to that, the question is, how much more did they know beyond that? We know that Oswald was impersonated two times, and the FBI knew it. Once going back to about 1960 or 61, because he was a Soviet defector. And so, he was on their radar screen, and the CIA also had been watching him for several years. It is certainly suspicious that a person of that type, who was also arrested in an incident, and I think it was in New Orleans a few months earlier also, would yet again be overlooked by these organizations when they're preparing for the president to drive by a place where that man actually works that's on the motorcade route. So, yes, I do think that's suspicious. And I'll add to it, the CIA has still not released all their documents related to this.
All right,
but,
Ryan.
They could really just make us all feel good about everything by just saying, "Here's everything." Don't do that.
All right, Ryan. The question then to you is, why would the CIA withhold any information from the Warren Commission, and why would some of that information still be classified today?
Well, I can't speak for why the CIA would do what they would do. I mean, my theory would be, if they were in fact aware of Lee Harvey Oswald and how he was up to, you know, he was into some shady things, if they were in fact aware of him and then they found out, you know, oh, Harvey Oswald is the assassin, maybe this is just a theory, I don't know. Maybe they were embarrassed. Maybe they were worried that, well, we have, you know, we've documented this guy and we did nothing about it. Maybe that's why. And maybe they didn't want that information to get out. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't have the answers. There were very interesting points by you, Tom. Very interesting points.
So an informational failure that would have embarrassed the CIA, thus they kept it quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the CIA is, you know, you're not even allowed to release the names of CIA agents. So they're very secretive there. And so they're very, you know, they consider themselves very responsible. The last thing they would want is like, an embarrassment like that that led to the death of the president. But I don't think that's necessarily because it's a conspiracy. I think it's a screw up, maybe. If that's the case, that's just a theory.
All right. I want to ask Tom about the impersonation of Oswald in Mexico. What happened?
I'll try to remember this exactly to the best of my ability. But in Mexico City, I think what was reported was that he went there to try to get a visa to get back to Cuba or get to Cuba or something to that effect. And that he made some threats there. You know what? I don't have that information right in front of me. Hoover was aware of that. A photo was taken of a man who was there, who they thought was Lee Harvey Oswald. And the photo is not of Lee Harvey Oswald. It's somebody else entirely. It's been published. And Lyndon Johnson used that incident, keeping that hush-hush, to convince people like Earl Warren, we've got to put out a report here. We've got to satisfy the public that there's no shenanigans going on here, because this is scary, because this might involve Russia, this might involve Cuba, and we might have a World War III or some sort of a war over this. And Earl Warren, I think, as a patriotic American, felt like it was his responsibility to come to the conclusion with his group that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in order to prevent there from being any kinds of serious repercussions.
So who impersonated Oswald? I mean, we obviously wouldn't
Nobody
know the
knows.
Name.
Nobody
but why?
Well, why don't they know?
No, why was he impersonated? Just
There's only theories. There's only theories about that. The CIA and the FBI act like they don't know either.
Sure.
So then you get into, you know, Ryan is right. There's a certain amount of embarrassment about these types of things being found out. But, you know, now you're getting into theories about, you know, okay. And one of the prevalent theories is that the CIA was starting to try to create a legend for Oswald so that because you need a patsy when there's an assassination. You need somebody caught, and you need somebody identified. So that's one of the theories.
So under this theory, Oswald really was a patsy. He was not working for them, and so, you know, he couldn't just go to Mexico, and they didn't use the real Oswald. They had to create a...
Right.
Okay,
right.
So he was, in fact, a patsy in this theory.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay, Ryan, any thoughts on that, the impersonation of Oswald?
As far as Lee Harvey Oswald being a patsy, explain this to me. If he was a patsy and nothing more, why did they find his fingerprints on the gun in the book depository? And why did they find his fingerprints on boxes in that book depository from the sixth floor? And why were his fingerprints on the three shells that were used? I mean, he's not just a patsy. He fired the weapon. So as far as the impersonation, I don't have any of that information in front of me. So I would have to defer to Tom on that.
Tom?
That's where this thing does get into this minutia of detail. The chain of evidence, unfortunately, has been very poor in this case. You know, where there's a lot of tampering with evidence, And I'd like to get to the doctors at Parkland at some point if we have time.
Sure.
But I cannot, because there's so many arguments back and forth, I cannot say for sure, and I don't know if anybody really can, that Oswald was or was not firing that rifle at that time. I could see a person making the point, that doesn't change for me, the idea that there's something bigger going on anyway. Let me just say this. The Dallas police chief, Jesse Curry, and it's very important to get civilian reactions to this, because once President Kennedy's body is whisked away, everything becomes official, and that becomes suspect. So Jesse Curry said, we cannot place Oswald for sure shooting that rifle from there. And that's the police chief of Dallas on that day when Oswald's arrested. So I can't say, you know, paraffin tests on Oswald's cheeks revealed he did not fire a rifle that day. But like you said, there's other evidence that does seem to incriminate Oswald. I hate to get caught up in all that because I think that there's something bigger going on here.
All right. You had 2 points earlier. I cut you off after the first point. What was your second point?
Oh, good. They, guess what? They come together. It was the doctors. To me, one of the greatest evidences that there is something amiss in the official story is the doctors at Parkland Hospital and the nurses, at least 7 of them, who saw the president's body, testified that there was a large exit wound in the back of his head. Now, these are doctors who work with people who are gunshot victims. Dr. Crenshaw, a new one just came out, Dr. Curtis, who said large exit wound in the back of his head. And by the way, this Dr. Curtis also said that when he was interviewed by the Warren Commission, by the time the report came out, his testimony was different. They left out the things that didn't fit, and the stuff that did fit's what made it into the Warren report. And so, and then the autopsy of the president takes place. You might know this. They wanted to keep the president's body in Texas to do an official autopsy after he was pronounced dead. That's Texas law. But the Secret Service, literally taking their guns out, said, we are taking this body and we're leaving. We're not having an autopsy done here. You realize how much we'd have all been spared if we had an autopsy in Texas by a civilian at that time? Because once they took that body away to Bethesda and had the military oversee the autopsy. Now imagine that, too. The military is overseeing the official autopsy. Questions have been raised ever since, and the doctors at Parkland say the autopsy photos that were released by the government is not what we saw. To me, that means a lot. To me, that's very questionable. That, you know, people as qualified as doctors would say, this doesn't work for me. This does not add up.
All right, Ryan. Ryan, if you have, everybody has seen the footage of the Zapruder film. And yep. And it certainly does look like, as was stated in JFK, that his head snaps back into the right or whatever it was that they said. And it does look like he's shot from the front, but of course the argument is that, well, you know, he was shot from the back and his head whiplashes backwards. That's what happens when you get shot. But the idea that the doctors are coming forward and saying that this is an exit wound in the back of the head is fairly compelling. What are your thoughts on the headshot in the Zapruder film?
Well, in the Zapruder film, it's not the clearest film. It doesn't tell all the answers. My belief has always been it's a shot in the back of the head, and there's kind of a whiplash effect with the way that's why his head goes back and yes to the left. There's another film. I believe it's the Nix film. I believe is what it's called. And in that film, you can see that at the point of impact, there's red mist, which one would assume would be blood coming out the front of Kennedy's head, which would show that it was in the back, out the front. And a very, very credible ballistics expert, his name is Larry Sturdivant, based on how the bullet, how the mist came and how the bullet came in, it had to have come from the book depository, which would have in fact been behind him.
It's now, okay, let me ask you this question, then we'll get Tom's thoughts. The supposed JFK autopsy photos, there is one, if you really want to look online, everybody, it's there. Several of them, actually. And he is lying on his back, exit wound in the neck, but his face, the front of his skull, is untouched. And obviously, whether the bullet went in the front or whether it went in the back, I mean, shouldn't there be an exit wound of some sort in the front of his face?
I would think there would be. I really don't have. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical experience, medical training. I really don't know how to. I know exactly the picture you're talking about too. That's always somewhat, I guess, baffled me would be the right best word to use. I've never really understood that particular photograph. I won't lie. I would think that there would be,
something.
Would at least, yeah.
Whether it goes in the front or the back, there should be something in the front of the face. Tom, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say that's always been one aspect that I've never really understood. So that is true. Yeah.
Now, Tom, you stated that the doctors have stated that the autopsy photos that have been made public were not the photos that they saw. Is that correct?
Right. It was not accurate for what they saw. Right.
Now, do they believe that? I mean, what happened with these photos? I mean, obviously, this photo of JFK here with an exit wound in his throat. I mean, sure looks like JFK to me. What happened with this photo? Where was this photo taken? What is this photo?
Now you get to those areas that I can't answer, and I don't know if anybody can answer, because if something was done, it was obviously done very secretive, and I don't know if that's a doctor can do some kind of a surgery to make it look a certain way, or if you take the skull part that's been blown off and, you know, or that flapped out, put it flat back, I wouldn't be able to tell you that at all.
So, to you, the points you've made about the doctors and Oswald in Mexico and such, this to you is the best evidence that some sort of conspiracy occurred.
I can mention one other thing, although this is just off the top of my head, and that is, if this is innocent, then there shouldn't be what we see, and that is some very violent and mysterious deaths of people who seem to know something, and those deaths occurring at the time of official investigations. For example, when Jim Garrison did his trial in 1967, he put Clay Shaw on trial. That was the basis of the JFK movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, then they ask people to testify, like a man named David Ferry, who allegedly knew Oswald. You know, these people suddenly turn up dead. You know, they suddenly commit suicide. And then at the time the Senate did another investigation in about 1978, and by the way, they concluded there probably was a conspiracy. I find that odd that the official report remains Oswald did it alone, but the later investigation said there was a conspiracy, and they had more evidence. Don't know how that turned out that way. But, at that time you had some people who really might have had some inside knowledge about this. A guy that was a friend of Oswald's named George de Morenschild, who's an interesting character who befriended Oswald for years. You know, he's called to testify, you know, the day before suicide. You have a fair number of those cases. And so to me, if you have just a cover-up because, some people made mistakes or this or that, seems to me that this gets beyond that, if these people had something to say that might have been so powerful that they couldn't be heard.
All right, Ryan, let's start wrapping up with the Senate Judiciary Committee when they investigated the JFK assassination, and they came to the conclusion that there probably was a conspiracy. What are your thoughts on the conclusion they came to?
Well, I believe the conclusion they came to was that there was probably a conspiracy, but that Oswald was the he fired the shot that actually killed Kennedy. So what they came to the conclusion that there was probably, he was, you know, without quoting it exactly, someone maybe financed him, put him up to it, all that. Maybe there was another shooter or whatever. But I just always go back to all the evidence on Oswald as just, you know, we know he was shady, you know, he defected to the Soviet Union. They didn't want him, so they kicked him out. He defected to Cuba. They didn't want him. And it's just, you know, and those, you know, the Soviet Union and Cuba happened to be the two countries that, you know, President Kennedy hated the most. So, you know, I just always think that, you know, the Senate did say that they felt there was probably, I believe is the word they used, there was probably a conspiracy. But they also added that it was, in fact, it was probably Oswald that did deliver the decisive shot. So, you know, take that for what it is. I always look at the character of Oswald, and he's not exactly the best character.
Now, Tom, I do believe that, and granted, polls are, they're polls, but the latest poll that I saw, I believe, stated that fewer people today believe in a conspiracy than at any other time in history, here at the 50th anniversary. And I guess the question to you is, there is still stuff that has not been released. There is, I'm sure at some point in the future, there is more that will be released. Do you think at the end of the day, we will ever know what really happened with John F. Kennedy?
Well, Brian, one thing I want to say is that's sure putting a positive spin on that poll information. Still, the majority of people, over 60%, believe that there was a conspiracy. That's just simply down from 70%. The majority of people still believe in it. Only 24% believe that Oswald acted alone today. So I just want to say, you know, that. And then the CIA is supposed to release all the information they have by the year 2017. I think they would have done us all a favor by releasing it this year. Because that would have been.
I was going to say, what difference is the next
3 or 4 years?
Yeah, what difference does the next 3 or 4 years make?
And let's see if they really do. I mean, you know, this is like the last stuff they've been holding on to about some of the most sensitive topics that people have been requesting. There's a lawyer named Jefferson Morley, who's he's a very, very impressive researcher, and he has sued for a specific file. That was like 10 years ago. You know, they're not ready to be releasing that file yet. Supposedly they will by 2017, but they leave themselves an out of national security. And I think any reasonable person, and I actually think that Ryan would probably agree, that at some point you say, you know, please release all this so that we can put all these conspiracy theories to rest, because that would be the best way to do it.
Absolutely. I agree with you there 100%. It would make, you know, all the conspiracy theories would, you know, if there is a conspiracy, it's one conspiracy, not 1,000. So if there happens to be one, it would put all the other ones to rest.
Now, Ryan, you believe that that there are still questions that need to be answered, despite your belief that Oswald acted alone, correct?
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I believe Oswald acted alone, but there are questions. I mean, there are questions that need to be answered, absolutely.
Do you feel that these questions will ever be answered? Do you feel that in 2017, one way or the other, we're going to know what really happened?
No, I don't think we're ever going to know what really happened.
Never.
But, yeah. I just don't know. I mean, all this happened in, you know, 1963, 50 years ago. A lot of people that were involved have long since passed away, or that, no, I shouldn't say involved, but that were around at the time have long since passed away, and who knows if they told anyone. So, I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to know what happened or what didn't happen or anything like that.
All right. I'd like to give you both a chance here. If you'd like to make any sort of conclusions, if you'd like to do any sort of wrap up, you're welcome to do that. Or obviously in the case of you, Tom, I want you to make sure you plug your game. And we will start with you, Tom.
I forget, you know, Ryan just said something I wanted to take off on. I believe, and then, you know, now I don't remember. I was listening and then my mind wandered, I guess, to whatever I would conclude with. I guess what I would conclude with is that I would like to see more transparency in the government. I'd like to see on this issue. I'd like to see it on all issues, but I'd like to certainly see it on this one so that we can get closure finally. I don't know if we're ever going to know also, because if there was a conspiracy, those people, quite like you say, probably have passed away by now. The exact details may not be known. However, if we get more puzzle pieces, we might be able to see the general outlines of it, and future generations might be able to look back and say, well, now that we've seen all this information, we think probably this is what happened.
All right, and your games.
Oh, well, in a short period, I won't take up too much of your time. Filsinger Games has been releasing wrestling card games since 1986 with Champions of the Galaxy, Legends of Wrestling. We license with Ring of Honor, Chikara, Combat Zone Wrestling, Shimmer, and others. We're going to add more, and if you're a fan of wrestling, I think you're going to love our games if you don't have them already.
I just want to mention that I have never talked to Tom before today, and one of these days we're going to do a Figure Four Daily with him. But I remember when I first started doing the newsletter, and I scraped up enough money to buy an ad, and I think it was Wrestling World magazine. But I remember looking through all those magazines, and I used to always see those Champions of the Galaxy ads, and it's just kind of amazing. Here I am talking to Tom right now about JFK of all things. So. It's pretty cool. And Ryan, I want to give you a chance if you've got anything to plug or just anything you'd like to get out there, a wrap up.
No plugs, Brian, but what I will say is I think Tom made a lot of interesting points. Some I've heard before, some I hadn't. But I think he makes a very interesting point about how the puzzle pieces, if we were to get more puzzle pieces, maybe we would know that there was some big giant conspiracy, or maybe we would find out that nope, Oswald was just a lunatic, which is what I happen to believe. I look at all the evidence that I have, and you know, I'm not an expert by any means. I mean, I'm young, but of all the evidence I look at, I think that his character, his morality, and his, you know, all the evidence that points to him comes into question, and that's why I think that he acted alone, because I think he had the means to do it, and I think he had the want to do it.
Well, Tom and Ryan, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. I really appreciate it. I put out a call a couple of days ago for people that were willing to argue both sides, and you both did an excellent job and kept it very civil, and I really do appreciate it. So thanks to both of you, and we shall be back in just a moment with open lines and emails. And we are back here on the show, and it is time to go to the phones. You are on After Dark Radio. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Ed from Cleveland.
Ed from Cleveland, what's happening?
Nothing. I got two different stories for you. I'm calling about the JFK stuff. I actually, my birthday was yesterday. I'm actually was born 20 years to the death of JFK, and my shoot name is actually John, and I was named after JFK.
Hold on a second. This is already awesome. Your shoot name is John, but you called up and claimed you were Ed?
That's my middle name. That's what I go by.
I see. That makes sense. 20 years to the day from his death.
Exactly.
So
my mom and my dad were big fans of this, so.
That's just interesting that
my dad actually wanted my middle name to be Fitzgerald. My mom was like, yeah, that's a little bit too far. So
they weren't at all concerned about naming you after a guy that had been assassinated in public exactly 20 years earlier?
No, I'm still alive today. So I guess I have to wait until I'm 40 something, I guess.
What do your parents think about the JFK assassination? Did they ever talk about it to you? I mean, did they think there was more to the story than just a lone shooter?
I think my mom did. I actually called a few weeks ago. I spoke about smelling cigar smoke in my house and saying that it was kind of haunted. I'm the same, that same caller.
Yes.
So my dad's also been dead since 87. So I don't know what my dad thought, but I like to fool around with conspiracy theories and stuff. I'm atheist. So it's kind of like it's sort of religion in a way, almost. I don't know. It's something fun to believe in, I guess.
So a belief in conspiracy is a religion to you?
Well, I mean, it's not like a religion per se. It's the idea that it's unknown. Like,
sure.
The Bigfoot, the UFO, all that kind of, all those things are, it's just the belief in the unknown and the hope for the unknown kind of thing.
Sure, that makes sense.
So, yeah, and then I actually have a kind of a ghost story for you so I can double up on that. I was watching UFC, what was it, 167 last weekend?
Yep.
And had a buddy over, and he's upstairs, and we're hanging in my room and stuff, watching the fights, getting pissed off at the big fight, obviously, or not in your in Dave's case, but yeah. So we're watching, and all of a sudden I hear wind chime, and my door's open. My front door's open, and I'm like, what the heck? So I yell, I'm like, so did somebody downstairs open it? And nobody had opened it. Well, I'm watching something a few days ago, and the door opens again, and I yell down if anybody opened it, and the person downstairs comes over, and she's like, yeah, it was deadbolted and locked.
So your front door, the deadbolt was magically, for lack of a better term, unlocked, and the door swung open.
Yes.
Now, do you have wind chimes outside? Is that what you heard, or are the wind chimes?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard the wind chimes outside. And I mean, I went and I saw the door physically open, and I yelled to the person that was downstairs.
Wait a second. When you say you saw the door physically open, you mean you saw
no,
that it...
I saw the door open after the fact.
Okay. So you didn't see it magically swing open.
No, that would have been really, really cool, but no, I did not.
So essentially there's either a ghost with a key or the ghost is on the inside trying to get out.
Possibly, yeah. And it's not like in this house, we bought the house when it was built. I was in the house while it was being built, like visiting it. And I mean, it was woods before that. So
it's not like someone died in the house or anything like that.
Right. But my mom does buy a lot of stuff off of eBay, and we have some antiques in the house. And then it was the night before my birthday, and so my mom was like, well, I wonder if it was my grandma, my grandpa, or my dad opening it.
So somebody maybe that had come there through the antiques?
Possibly, yeah.
Sure. Are you aware of maybe you built the house on a burial ground of some sort?
I highly doubt it. Like I said, it was woods before that. And I know where all the old cemeteries are in town, and they're still intact.
So you have done some research?
Well, no, I just know my town. It's a small town. I just know where all the stuff is. And I highly doubt that there was anything there. It's just really weird. I have no idea what's up with it. And I've lived in that house for 16 years. And nothing like that has ever happened.
Well, Ed, I want to thank you very much for an excellent call here tonight. And if you guys recall, a couple of weeks ago, before I left on vacation, I was trying to set up my mobile studio because I wanted the shows to sound as good as possible, as much like being here in studio as possible. And I was doing an experiment with Vinny. I got him a mic, and I was doing an experiment over Skype. And I'm talking to him on Skype, and as God is my witness, I heard Whitney downstairs calling up for me to help her. Like she had too much stuff in her hands or something like that. And I listened back to the recording. It's just, I mean, it's crazy. Like I say, hold on, Vinny. And I start yelling at her, and I pause again to listen more. So I must have heard something twice. And she was not here. She was miles away in her car. And it was weird. So not a ghost, obviously, but that was pretty freaky. I'm not going to lie. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Frank from California.
Frank, what's up?
I hate to start off this program with bad news, but the Portland Arena football team's name is the Portland Thunder.
Thunder?
Not the Portland Sasquatch.
What a boring, lame team name.
Yes.
Isn't there already a Thunder of some sort? Yes. Like a...
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oklahoma City Thunder. I think there's like a Seattle Thunder or something like that. It's like a roller jam team or something. I don't recall, but that's lame.
The Seattle basketball team moved to Oklahoma City and became the Thunder. They're Portland Trailblazers rivals.
I see.
Which makes it even more perplexing.
Now, did you get the final tally of the vote like we get on Raw? I mean, was it, 60% the Thunder, 20% the Sasquatch, and then another 20% for, what was the last one, the Growler?
I didn't see any of that. I just saw that they...
It was the Growlers, though, right? The Growlers.
Yeah, the Growlers.
My God, just the most horrendous name I've ever heard of for anything.
Why would you wear a t-shirt that says Growlers?
I have no idea. I wouldn't.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back to the show, man.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. That was all he had to tell me. They were doing a team for, I forget what it was. It was, I forget the sport. But they were looking for a team name, and one of the options was the Portland Sasquatch. Sasquatches? Something like that? And then there was the Growlers was an option. And then apparently the Thunder and some very uncreative people apparently were voting. And I guess they chose the Portland Thunder. It's very depressing. So what'd you think of the debate? I know that some people are going to be disappointed that it wasn't more contentious, but I'm glad it was not more contentious. I want a debate where two people will rationally explain their side of the story or their belief and not have to scream at each other and act like numbskulls. I thought that both guys did a tremendous job. And obviously, whenever you're debating a topic like this, I know that there are going to be some people out there that are very upset and they'll go, oh man, I could have done a better job. Guess what? I gave all of you the opportunity to send in your resume. So if you didn't send in a resume, I don't want to hear any complaints. Tom and Ryan, they had the guts to send me a resume and request to do this on the air, and they did a fine job. So maybe we'll do another debate sometime. And if you weren't happy with how it went, maybe you can contact me and we'll get you on the air to argue your side. I thought they did a very good job and made some very good points. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Brian. It's Alex Goff.
Alex, what's up?
Okay, so JFK.
Before you get into JFK, congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you very... are you talking about my personal... I'm just kidding. No, thank you very much for... thank you very much for that, Brian. I appreciate it.
And, what was the tournament?
It was the Grappler's Quest event, World Series of Grappling. They have little themes. This is Grappler's Quest, but it happened in Las Vegas, Nevada, right before... GSP defended his title against Johnny Hendricks. I actually won my first gold medal.
Gold and, medal, everybody.
Yeah, so I'd like to thank everyone out there on the board who supported me. And then I went and watched GSP defend his title. So, I felt like a champion. And that's not even the most interesting story of the day, is that when my coach competed, the coach in the other guy's corner was Robert Drysdale. So, and Robert Drysdale was working the ref. So I had to be the antithesis to Robert Drysdale, who, if you don't know, is like a top 30 grappler living, would you say?
He's way up there.
Yeah, so I'm having to, like, because Robert Drysdale's like, oh, he's stalling, and I had to say, like, no, you passed your own terms, whatever, whatever. The guy was holding him in half guard from the bottom. So, I mean, my coach couldn't move. Anyways.
You know, it's funny. Let me say something real quick. I had a girl in a tournament a couple of weeks ago, and she was inside another girl's guard, and the other girl was like, she was really strong. You should have seen her legs. I mean, just like, my girl was not getting out of her guard, and my girl is trying, you know, she's posting, she's trying to open the guard. She just can't get the guard open. And the ref, penalized my girl for stalling. And I was like,
ridiculous.
You penalized a girl inside the guard for stalling? I mean, she's actively trying, why would she want to just stay in the girl's guard? What possible benefit is there for her to stay in the guard? The girl who's, I don't know, I was just baffled.
Well, there is the argument. I mean, you see high-level matches where that happens all the time. I mean, the game is, can I pass this guy's guard, I win. If the guy sweeps me, I lose. And, I mean, you'll see a 10-minute pro match where that's the whole fight. But, I mean, in this situation with my coach, I mean, the guy was in half guard. In my opinion is, if you're on bottom and you have half guard, your goal is to either sweep or to submit. It's not to sit there and hold him down. And my coach is obviously waiting for you to try to sweep or submit him before he passes. I mean, he was trying to do what he can do, but if he overreacts too much, he's going to get swept. So it's a delicate game. But finally, the ref gave him a stall call, so he got 2 points to the other guy. But my coach finally passed, and he won the match. And then the ref ran over and was like, I'm sorry, guys, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, I got it. Robert Drysdale said that. What are you supposed to do, tell him you know more than him? But it was a great weekend and a great show. And
did you get any submissions?
No submissions, but there's always next time, and I'll do more next year. So I like competing. You were at my first tournament, and you gave me a great piece of advice. You told me I gave up my back too much. That's something I've been working actively on. But so my first tournament was in July, so plan on competing more this year and seeing what I can do. So that's fun. I like
very,
it.
Very happy for you.
Hopefully get up the Boffin train with you one day. Want to do
anytime
that as well.
You're up. Anytime you're up.
So, JFK conspiracy. So, I'm not the most educated person in the world about the JFK conspiracy thing, but I find it interesting that recently Secretary of State John Kerry came out and said that he believed that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone. And so, it kind of adds credence, I guess, to a lot of people who, because Secretary of State John Kerry obviously was a senator for years and years and years. That's kind of interesting that I that deep in the establishment, if you will, would say, like, I don't believe it. I don't think he acted alone.
Yeah, in fact, that was just brought up in the debate. Actually, I hadn't heard that until I believe it was Tom brought it up. The fact that John Kerry said that, and I thought it was interesting, in the sense that this is a very high level guy. And to me, what was interesting about it is the very fact that he even said that, to me, indicates that he actually doesn't know. Because if he knew, then he would say something one way or the other. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but also, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm saying, like, when you're in circles, right? So let's just say you run in a circle. Like, there's things that, like, are mysteries to people outside of World Wrestling Entertainment, for example. But if you work in the halls of WWE, like, you might not know the actual story, but around town it's like, oh, yeah, this happened or whatever. Yeah, the story that thousands happened, but this is really what happened. So I kind of, maybe it's like that. Like, John Kerry, like, he doesn't know exactly, like, how it went down, but it's kind of known in, like, Washington, because he's been there forever. Kind of known, like, yeah, like, we quelled it. You know what I mean? We didn't want World War III. We didn't want nukes going off over Moscow. You know what I mean? We kind of quelled it. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, some old guy who hangs out, like, telling him the story, you know? Because, I mean, for him to say that publicly, like, you know, obviously he believes something. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not sure of what he believes, he believes something.
Sure. It was pretty astonishing. I hadn't heard that until Tom brought it up, but... You know, and thinking about it more, it's just, it's very interesting. To me, it also kind of speaks to the fact that, and it actually is exactly like your WWE analogy, that sometimes people think, like, let's say that before he got into WWE, like, Santino was my best buddy. You know, he lived next door and we grew up together and everything like that. I think that there are some people, if he went to WWE, would then think that, well... Every scoop Brian gets, it must come from Santino. He works there. When in reality, Santino probably has no idea what's going on ever, and probably gets a lot of information from going on the internet, reading it from other sites. And I think that it's kind of like that. I think there's some people that believe, well, if you work in the government, if you're the president, you know, if the government knows anything about UFOs, for example, or JFK or whatever, if you're the president, you're going to end up knowing that information. And I don't necessarily think that's the case.
That's a very excellent point as well. that's a very excellent point as well.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, Alex. And again, congratulations on your gold medal performance from Alex Goff. Man, you guys should have been there for Alex's, when I went to his first competition, July, I believe it was the Grappler's Quest as well. But man, when he won his match, you have never seen a guy so pumped up and excited and just like ready to take on the world. It was awesome. So I'm very proud of him for getting that gold medal. So back to the debate. As I noted, I'd like to have more debates here on this show. I really would. I actually got the idea for the debate. I was listening to an old archived Art Bell show from like 1996, maybe even earlier, 94, 95, 96. And he had a debate on the show. And he found two guys, two wacky guys, and I for the life of me, I can't even remember what they were debating. But he brought them on the air and he just let them go to town. And it was fun radio. And I thought about that when the JFK thing was coming up. I mean, I'm not the guy to argue this, but I thought if I can find two guys that can really argue this, this could be a fun little segment. And in fact, I did. So I think that down the road, we may have more great debates. As many of you are well aware, we're going to be having some guests on the show. We used to have guests on all the time, but it got to be too much. We had great guests. Guests were awesome. But having to, it's very hard with guests. They have to, they work around certain schedules. You know, you got to work around their schedule. They got to work around your schedule. I've got all the other stuff that I normally do, all the website stuff, all the Wrestling Observer, Figure Four Online stuff. I got the dojo. I mean, it's hard to try to schedule an interview for this show every single week. This is not my my main source of income. This show is a hobby. And so it got to be very difficult. So I have gotten together with my old producer, and we're going to be working on doing one or two guests a month. And that will also make having guests on a little bit more special. And so when we don't have guests on, we'll do open lines and emails as we're doing tonight, and maybe some other features as well. I know I've talked forever about doing a book club, but we'll see. I haven't been reading full books on many of these topics of late, and I think the books that I have been reading, I'm not necessarily sure that people would be interested in reading these books. For example, the autobiography of Larry King. Is anyone really going to want to read that book except for me? Maybe. I don't know. I did read it, and it was very interesting, but I'm not sure that's exactly something that people would want to devote a show to. So anyway, may not do book clubs. We'll see. But I do think the idea of doing a debate every now and then would be interesting. All sorts of topics can be debated. All sorts of things that people are very passionate about. So we may do more of those in the future. Now, on the topic of JFK, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I had a very interesting article here that really kind of summed up how I look at a lot of conspiracies. And this is from Slate.com. And it reads here, "Yesterday I wrote about the psychology of conspiracy theorists. People who think they know who really killed President Kennedy, blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building, or destroyed the World Trade Center. Studies indicate that these folks are believers, not skeptics. They don't trust what the government or the press tells them, but they credulously accept and assert wildly implausible plots. There's a broader group of people, however, who think more critically. They question the official narrative, but they don't necessarily buy the alternatives. These people seem to be genuine skeptics. They're not the target population for studies of conspiracy psychology. Instead, they show up in polls. A compendium of public opinion research is published by the American Enterprise Institute. Shed some light on them." So here's some examples. In 1963, shortly after JFK's death, there was a poll, and fewer than 30% said they felt strongly that a communist, segregationist, or other extremist had killed the president. Fewer than 30%. However, 62% said they thought other people had helped the shooter. 62% felt that Oswald had not acted alone. So last year, there was another study, and 75% affirmed that there are still too many questions surrounding Kennedy's assassination to say that Lee Harvey Oswald acted by himself. Here's another example. After the Waco siege, this poll in 1995 said, do you think government agents deliberately set the fire in which the Branch Davidians died, or do you think it was an accident? 66% said it was an accident. Only 14% believed that it was deliberate. 14% believed the government set the fire. But then 3 months later, when the same people were asked the question whether federal law enforcement officials are covering up anything, 49% said yes. So, I guess to simplify this, there is a small group of people that usually believe that there is a conspiracy, but there is a larger group of people that is open to the idea that there may be more to the story. I guess that is the easiest way to explain this. For example, here's another one. 50th anniversary of the UFO crash at Roswell. Gallup asked Americans whether UFOs had ever visited Earth in some form. 45% said yes, which actually is an astonishingly high number, really. And then when Gallup asked, does the government know more about UFOs than they are telling us? 71% said yes. So 45% believed that, yes, we had been visited, but 71% maybe didn't believe that we were visited, but did believe that there could be more to the story. And I believe that, I mean, this is exactly, that's me. In the case here of JFK, for example. I mean, do I believe that there was some grand JFK conspiracy? Do I believe this? I don't think so. However, do I believe that there may be more to the story? Maybe a lot more to the story. I find that very easy to believe. As Ryan and Tom were talking about, in 2017, supposedly, everything is going to be released to the public. Do I believe that's actually going to happen? Probably not. But let's just say it does. Do I think that there was a grand conspiracy to assassinate JFK? No. But do I believe that in 2017, there is a decent chance that information is going to come out that reveals that there was, in fact, a lot more to this story? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that's very possible. I mean, if nothing else, I mentioned during the debate, those autopsy photos. I am very skeptical of those autopsy photos. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were doctored. Maybe just the way that he was shot. I mean, I guess one of the arguments is that the bullet kind of took off the top of his head. So it didn't like go in the middle of the back of his head and come out like his face. Like it didn't blow his eye out or his nose off or anything like that. Like it took off the top of his head. So if he was lying on his back and you took a photo standing, you know, by his feet, you know, maybe you wouldn't see all the damage to the top of his head. I guess that's a theory. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But when I think about the two theories, that he was shot from behind or that he was shot from the front, whichever you want to believe, was it from the book depository or from the grassy knoll? When I think about a guy being shot in the head, I presume that whether it came from the front or the back, there should be a hole in his face. And there isn't in these autopsy photos. And supposedly the doctors, there are doctors who don't believe or have stated that these are not the same photos that we took, which is very powerful when the doctors themselves say that. Now, why was that the case? I mean, maybe there was concern that the actual autopsy photos were so horrifyingly graphic that they needed to release another set of photos that didn't show him with so much facial damage. I don't know. I don't know what the story is. But I do know that there are things. I mean, I just believe that there's more to this story. And I think with a lot of conspiracy theories, I mean, I don't know if an alien craft crashed at Roswell. I don't. I've read a lot from both sides. I'm absolutely firmly convinced that something really, really weird happened at Roswell. And I firmly believe that whether an alien craft crashed or not, that a lot of people who were there believe that an alien craft crashed. That doesn't mean one did. It just means they believe it. I do believe that they believe an alien craft crashed. Now, whether an alien craft crashed or not, I don't believe that the story we are being told about Roswell is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And for all of you really hardcore skeptics out there who may think I'm crazy for saying that, let me tell you something, and you can look this up. And this is a fact. The government has changed their own story about Roswell numerous times. So to me, if the government tells a story and then they change their story and then they change their story again, to me, I don't think you should call me crazy for not believing that third story. I think that maybe you're a little crazy if you believe that third story. But again, I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was a crash of an alien craft, but I do know something happened and I do believe there was more to the story. So this article here in Slate, I mean, that's me to a T. I'm that guy who I don't believe that the government set the fire in which the Branch Davidians died. But do I believe that perhaps the government covered something up? Sure. If for no other reason than to try to avoid embarrassment in some way. I mean, I think there are a lot of times that if the government released the whole story about something, it would be a window into their incompetence. And I don't think they like that. And so I do think that a lot of times details are suppressed. I guess the official term would be in the interest of national security. Because I guess for reasons of national security, you don't want the world to know that you made a big mistake and you screwed something up big time. So I do believe that in a lot of cases, things have been suppressed. So that is up at Slate.com. You can head up there and check that out. Also linked at WrestlingObserver.com is an article from the MorningNews.org, All the President's Killers, an illustrated guide to every person, plot, and nefarious organization ever accused of killing JFK. I honest to God don't think this is everyone that has ever been accused. I'm sure there are people who have been accused or organizations or groups that are not listed here, but it is a cartoon. And for example, you can look at this cartoon drawing of Lyndon Johnson. It has a motive. Why would Lyndon Johnson have wanted JFK assassinated? Their motive is endlessly humiliated by the Kennedy brothers, believed they were going to drop him from the ticket in 1964. The plausibility that the MorningNews.org gives Lyndon Johnson is 4 out of 10, which actually is a lot higher than some of the others that they've listed here in this article. And they add that killing JFK is a stretch, but we could sure see him wanting to kill Bobby Kennedy. That's up at the MorningNews.org. Also, from the Christian Science Monitor, more JFK. 50 years after JFK, conspiracy theories of all sorts thrive in America. And who is here on the front page of this article but Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura? I'll read this blurb from it. which I have believed is one of the reasons for so many people believing so many conspiracies. Conspiracy gives us comfort, says Sean Cunningham, a history professor at Texas Tech. Even if it creates paranoia and panic, it's something you can hold on to as an explanation of why something happened. As people continue to hear for decades after the Kennedy assassination that there are alternative theories, it is a Pandora's box as to what else could they have possibly done, and it feeds the fire for any conspiracy that you can imagine. And the gist of this is that it is scary to believe for a lot of people. This is the theory. It is scary for a person to believe that John F. Kennedy, one of the most beloved presidents that this country has ever seen, could be taken out by one crazy guy. That's disconcerting for people. So, in a sense, it's comforting to think that John F. Kennedy was taken out, but you know what? It wasn't just one crazy guy. It was a grand conspiracy that was needed and required to take down JFK. It was all of these people that didn't like him. They were working together. It's in some ways more comforting than just thinking that at any time, one crazy guy could take down John F. Kennedy. And in a lot of cases, it is believed that that is why people believe in conspiracies. I don't know if that's the case. What do you think? That is up at the Christian Science Monitor, csmonitor.com. We've also got linked at wrestlingobserver.com. This is from beforeitsnews.com. What the hell, it says, is this monster found in Vietnam? It says recently, Carapaya, I don't know how to pronounce that, a Japanese news site focusing on the strange and the weird, posted a video of what seems to be a giant monster being dug out of the ground in Vietnam. In the video, the long, fat, gray, slug-like creature is surrounded by a crowd of curious onlookers, watching with rapt attention as the horrifying behemoth is hoisted onto a trailer. What in the world could it be? A giant worm? An alien aggressor? Or a genetic experiment gone horribly wrong? And there is a video linked. I have watched the video, and unfortunately, my wife is in bed asleep, because I would like her to look at this video, because I firmly believe that this is a whale. And I am skeptical that this video was actually taken in Vietnam. Maybe it was. But it appears to be a giant whale that is being hoisted onto a trailer. In fact, there's a fin. I'm not an expert on whales like my wife, but it appears to be, I don't think it's a blue whale. It doesn't look, I mean, it's to me, it's way too small to be a blue whale, but it's got a similar look to it. So I will have Witty check that out, and perhaps next week on the show, I will have an answer as to what this mystery whale actually is. But you can see a video of this linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. Also this, speaking of deep sea creatures, massive alien squid captured on video. A huge 26-foot long magnapenis squid filmed by Shell Oil from one of its submersible vehicles. This is definitely, I mean, it looks like an alien squid. If you look at the traditional, what does an alien look like? Big head. I mean, this is a weird looking thing. This is a real deal. This is a real squid, and it is scary looking. There is some scary stuff in the deep blue sea, and I believe that there's probably a lot of things in the deep blue sea that have yet to be that have yet to be discovered. So check that out as well. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Eric from Minnesota.
Eric, what is happening?
Not much. I just wanted to call to talk to you about, well, I have a comment and a question. My comment first is that Jesse Ventura was in my town today.
Really? Did you go see him?
No, I couldn't. Wasn't able to take the night off, but I did. I was able to get my book signed from him, though.
Did you buy his JFK book?
Yes, I did. I've only read the first few chapters so far, and I was planning on whenever I get done reading it, I was planning on either sending you an email about it or calling in and talking to you about it.
Well, I'd like you to do either. I the debate wrapped up about 20 minutes ago, and Ryan Thompson, who is in the anti-conspiracy camp, stated that the book was completely ridiculous. I believe were his exact words.
Yeah, it's the same way. That's not a surprise with a little bit that I've read of it so far.
Yeah, and your question?
I was gonna say I read the first article that you post up on the website so far, about like the governments, well, people not fully believing about conspiracies, but people believing that governments lie to people.
Sure.
I just wanted your thoughts about that. Cause I do kind of believe that governments don't tell us the full story about different stories, but I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts on that article.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I talked about that a little bit earlier. And I think that, I mean, it's clear that, and I mean, this is a fact. I mean, there are a lot of documents covering all sorts of different topics that are locked away. They are top secret. They are levels above top secret. And why is that? Because they don't want us to know something. And many times it is for a completely, I know some people will argue this, but sometimes you do have to keep some information secret in the interests of national security. And I will just give you an example from police work. If there was a crime in my neighborhood, and let's say that one of my neighbors went crazy and committed this terrible crime. The police and the detectives and such would show up and they would release information to the public. However, they absolutely would not release all of the information. And the reason for that is because it could severely impact the investigation. Let's just say in the case of John F. Kennedy. Let's say that when they performed their investigation, they amassed a bunch of evidence from the scene. And let's say that the shooter left behind, just throwing something out there, a baby blue baseball cap with a tear in the bill, just to get even more specific. Now, when the government releases their information, or the whoever is conducting the investigation, when they release the information, there's a very, very good chance that they are not going to release the information about the baby blue cap with the tear in the bill. Because whenever there is a high-profile crime, particularly a murder, there are people who will come out of the woodwork and attempt to take credit for it, even if they had absolutely nothing to do with it. And so in order to weed out potential false suspects, the police can say, all right, well, is there anything that you might have left at the scene of the crime? So if somebody comes forward and claims, all right, well, I was the one responsible, you can ask them this question. And if they say, well, you know, I think I left behind I didn't leave anything behind. You know, right there. Well, that's, say, the guy. But if someone comes forward and claims that they were responsible And you say, did you leave anything at the scene of the crime? And they say, well, I left a baby blue cap and there was a tear in the bill. Well, you know you got your man. So it's very important in criminal investigations. You cannot give out every last shred of information. And that's why often you will see police investigators very, very upset when information gets out in the tabloids. And the tabloids will claim that, oh, well, you know, the public is their right to get all this information. And meanwhile, it's compromising the investigation. So in the case of the government, I'm sure millions of times they've withheld information for a number of reasons. And like I said, one of the most obvious is likely that if the public found out how this was mishandled or how we failed to act upon information that we had received prior to an event taking place. I mean, that's very embarrassing. And I can see that stuff being locked away, never to see the light of day. Also got an article here. Renowned psychic and best-selling author Sylvia Brown has died at 77. Sylvia Brown, a leader in the paranormal world, who appeared regularly on television and radio, and also wrote dozens of top-selling books, died Wednesday in a Northern California hospital. She was 77. She was a believer in reincarnation as well as God, conducted thousands of hypnotic regressions, hundreds of trance sessions to help people around the world. And she explained on CNN's Larry King Live, coincidentally, that she both communicated with the dead and looked into the future. I don't know how I do it, Brown once explained on King's show. I have done it all my life. I believe that Sylvia Brown was one of the few people that George Norrie blackballed from Coast to Coast AM. In fact, I think I read about this a couple of weeks ago. See if I can find it. Sylvia Brown. Oh, this was, I should note this as well. A scientific skeptic James Randi, a retired stage magician turned investigator of paranormal claims, was a vocal critic of Brown, claimed her accuracy rate was no better than educated guessing. On September 3rd, 2001, Brown stated on Larry King Live that she would prove her legitimacy by accepting the James Randi Educational Foundation's $1 million challenge to demonstrate supernatural abilities in a controlled scientific test. However, by April 2003, Brown had not contacted Randi to make testing arrangements. She said she had not taken the test because James Randi refused to place the prize money in escrow. He then responded by mailing a notarized copy of the prize account status, showing a balance in excess of $1 million. Brown refused to accept the letter. And obviously, she never collected the $1 million. So the death of Sylvia Brown, this article here on CNN.com, all linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. All right, let's jump into the mailbag. You're always welcome to send your emails to WrestlingObserver.com, Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Always make sure you put After Dark in the subject line. Obviously, if you're listening for the first time, we do this show every Friday night, and we take phone calls and emails, open line phone calls, at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. Quiet night for phone calls this evening. But sometimes the phone lines are packed for a full hour. This show, as noted, is a hobby. It is listener-driven. So, if you love this show and you want it to continue, you got to participate. And you can participate by sending in your emails or by giving us a call on Friday nights at 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific. Phone numbers, put them in your phone. 425-482-1686. That is the main number. If you've got free long distance on your cell phone or your Skype or whatever, use that number, 425-482-1686. if you do not have free long distance, if you have a landline, you are welcome to call toll-free 855-478-4478. That's 855-478-4478. And if you have Skype, you can get better call quality on Skype. You're welcome to contact me. The handle is F4WOnline. That is F4WOnline. We have a website. It is AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Also, BrianAlvarez.com. They both work. The latest show is always available for free up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. We've also got an RSS feed in the news. On the left-hand side, a bunch of stories from unexplained-mysteries.com. A top story right now is, in fact, the death of Sylvia Brown. And if you love the show and you'd like access to our entire archive, all you have to do is sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, that's okay. You can get the archives of After Dark Radio. Even if you're not a wrestling fan and you don't need the archives of After Dark Radio, you can still sign up and help support the show. That's the best way to do it. Sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. All the information is on how to do so is located at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. So head up there and check that out. All of the information about calling in, emailing me, all that kind of stuff is up there. Let us get to work on some of these emails here. We do have a lot of them. We've been out of town. Some of you are well aware. We were in Kauai, Hawaii for 2 weeks, Whitney and I, and we had a great time. I don't know how much I talked about, but I did in fact survive zip lining, as is obvious from listening to my voice here on this show. It was awesome. The one thing about the zip lining, I may have talked about this on the other show, one of the other shows. We had that guy. That guy who has got a million one-liners, thinks he's a stand-up comedian, and guess what? You're out in the middle of the jungle, and you can't go anywhere. You can't leave. You are trapped. Absolutely trapped. So, you get to hear this guy's act for 4 hours. Now, because you're in the middle of nowhere, there's no turning back. You can't zip line the easy one and then all of a sudden decide, I don't want to go on the one that's a half mile long. I want to go home. You can't go home. The only way home is on the 1.5 mile zip line. So my theory is that they find these guys, and the guys are just so annoying that, you know, you're ready to jump. You're ready to go. And that's where I was. I was like, my God, I got to get off this platform. Strap me in and let me go. So it was a great time, though. We had a great time. And we went on a cruise to the Nepali coast. That was awesome. I guess they filmed some stuff for Jurassic Park there. They filmed some stuff from the 1976 edition of King Kong, the King Kong movie from 1976. They filmed some of Pirates of the Caribbean 4 there. There was a beach where I guess Johnny Depp landed in that movie. And it was a lot of fun. It was beautiful. Luckily, we got a little bit of sunshine. A lot of clouds in Kauai. And trust me, I'm not complaining. I had a great time. But there were a lot of clouds. And particularly on the way back from the trip to the Nepali coast, it was very bumpy. Luckily, the mountains were able to block out some of the wind when we were actually at the Nepali coast. So the water was calm. It's beautiful. I got a bunch of pictures up on my Facebook. If you want to go to facebook.com/BrianAlvarez, go up there and see some of those pictures. But apparently there had been 35-foot waves a week earlier. So luckily we did not get swept into that. There was some sort of observatory there as well. I didn't get all the details. I didn't even ask, actually. But they had the big observatory, and I don't know if it was a radar station or whatever. A lot of military stuff out there. But certainly, if you ever go to Kauai, Hawaii, go on the zip lines and go on the cruise to the Nepali coast. If the weather's going to be good. If not, guaranteed you will vomit. In fact, I'm surprised nobody on this boat vomited. I think, in fact, I know this is a fact. Whitney and I were the youngest people on this boat by at least two generations. It was Whitney and I and 25 grannies and their husbands. And I could not even believe these old people were absolutely out of their minds. Drinking. I mean, the boat's tossing and turning, and they're just like, you know, they're trying to go upstairs, go downstairs. They're just being flung to and fro. It was amazing. They're just laughing, having a great time. I'm sitting there like a 200-year-old man, apparently, because I was sitting still for a fair amount of this. Man, these old people just drinking and having a great time. So it's a lot of fun. So check those two things out if you ever head to Kauai. All right, into the mailbag. I am back home. And so here we go. This is from Damien. If I miss your email, by the way, I apologize. I try to keep up. This email here is from 8 days ago. So if I ever miss your email, I try and pick up the next week. Damien says, I posted about this recently on the board in the anger thread. I'm a comic book and Halloween enthusiast, and year after year I go to Orlando with my significant other for the Halloween Horror Nights production. Using some of their sound stages, Universal spends millions of dollars to convert them into movie-licensed haunted house walkthroughs. It is an amazing experience. A girl I met in Boston a little over a year ago, who was from Ireland on a temporary work visa, I'll call her Shirley. We clicked immediately. There was an attraction there. She became a big fan of this event during her travels. After she went back to Ireland, we maintained a friendship, generally discussed comics, video games, etc. Had a lot in common. Anyway, after Universal announced the lineup for HHN, I searched for someone to come with me. Couldn't find anyone willing to go. Shirley already made arrangements to fly in from Ireland to attend the event and offered to meet up with me for a few days. I booked the non-refundable tickets. A day and a half before my flights, she sends me a Facebook message, essentially canceling on me as her friends made other plans and she couldn't meet up with me. I was furious, to say the least. I ended up going to Universal Studios by myself for 3 days, which was an interesting experiment. I'm generally a shy and reserved person, but I was forced to come out of my shell. Ended up meeting a cool group of people right before the Halloween event started, so that was fun. The rest of the trip, I drank a bunch of beer, took a ton of pictures. At one point, I was mesmerized by a pair of ducks. They were standing perfectly still next to a girl sitting at a cafe table. I quietly walked up to these ducks, who still hadn't moved, and in my drunkenness started to think they were statues. I then looked at the girl and said, "Excuse me, are those real?" That's a great line, by the way, to introduce yourself to a lady. After some more chit-chat, the girl reveals she is a scare actor in the park, specifically for Halloween. I mentioned something about Jason and Freddy, and she had never heard of Freddy Krueger. I asked her if she'd ever heard of the guy with razors for fingers, and her response was, "Wolverine?" Turns out she was 18, but still, who has not heard of Freddy? He said he made the most of it, and I will see you guys in New Orleans. That is from Damien, the Dames, on the board. Andy Kaufman story. Did we talk about this? I believe we did. Andy Kaufman. This is from my buddy Kurt Brown. More about the Andy Kaufman is alive death hoax. He said that Lynn Margulies was Andy Kaufman's gal all the way up until the end of his life. She happens to be the kid sister of Martin Margulies, who we all know and love as Johnny Legend. So there is another pro wrestling tie-in with the late Andy Kaufman. All right, this is from, this is a good one. Caught this article today, says Neil. Don't know if you've seen it or mentioned it on After Dark. It is from freedomshammer.wordpress.com. Anthropologist held hostage by elves for 7 years. 7 years after she vanished without a trace, a female anthropologist emerged from a mysterious cave where authorities believe she may have been held hostage by real-life elves. Danish researcher Kalena Sandergaard was stark naked, covered by dust and babbling incoherently when rescuers found her outside a tiny opening in the infamous Elf Rock, traditionally believed to house the underground dwelling place of mankind's tiny cousins. She was crouching like an animal and spoke only in a language unrelated to any we know, said Amor Gudjonsson of the National Rescue Service, which airlifted the 31-year-old survivor to a hospital by helicopter. The only word we could understand was Alfur, an old Icelandic word for elves. On her back were strange tattoos similar to those markings Viking explorers found on rock formations when they settled Iceland in 874, traditionally known as elf writing. Kalena, who was seeking proof of the existence of elves, was reported missing in January 2006. At the time, police suspected she was the victim of foul play, but an intensive search failed to turn up any remains. On February 4, 2013, hikers spotted the scientist crawling on all fours on a ledge high on the rocky hill, moving more like an ape than a human being. I need to find out more about this. Is this a real story or what is this? Let's search for her name. Kalena. Let's see, everybody. Let's do a search for this on someplace other than freedomshammer.wordpress.com. Is there a Wikipedia for this woman who has been abducted by elves? I don't see it, but there is a whole bunch. Let's try Crypto Mundo here. There is the story. Very interesting. I'm just baffled by this. Though found without a stitch of clothing, the bedraggled woman did not appear to have been sexually abused. Authorities have not ruled out the possibility that she had voluntary relations with her captors. Who are her captors? Elves? About that. Well, everybody, this, in fact, needs a follow-up. Oh, hold on here. Oh, maybe not. This person here says, this is pure fake. Here is an article. The woman in the pics was rescued from cliffs near a nude beach in California. The close-up photo is from a Russian dating site. For all I know, the scientist doesn't exist. This is a pure hoax. At which point someone else says, nope. This story here is from DoubtfulNews.com. And it says the blog is not a news service. A quick search of her name and details only result in links to other mystery-mongering websites. A search for the photos reveal one is from a Russian dating site. The Daily Mail had photos. And in fact, this is the photo of a woman stuck on a cliff at a nude beach. So they don't believe, in fact. Yep, there you go. Naked woman, 27, rescued from cliffs after getting stuck trying to reach a nudist beach. That is, in fact, the same photo. So there you go, everybody. Apparently, a woman was not, in fact, abducted by elves. How disappointing. It's always fun to do an investigation like this on the air. All right, well, thank you very much, Neil, for giving me more information on that story. All righty, this person has some stuff for me. We were talking about alligators and crocodiles and whether they age. Because the story is that they're cold-blooded creatures, and the lifespan is usually determined by the lifespan of the zookeeper, because he usually dies before they do. So, I believe it was Carl Sagan who said, I don't even know. Uh-oh. That's what happens when you have the audio up for Skype, and then a ad starts to play. All right, six unassuming animals that are secretly immortal. Some animals living in our world seem to be kicking death in the ass just by hanging around and doing what they do. These species have managed to stick around the planet for mind-blowing amounts of time, at least until we killed them and dissected them. Lobsters don't get older, they only get bigger. How about that? This lobster, 140 years old. They don't age in the sense they don't get weaker or start getting arthritis in their claws. Instead, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And I presume eventually they just get eaten, right? And here is a photo from the Guinness Book of World Records, a 44-pound colossus, a lobster, and another 51.5-pound lobster caught in Maine in 1926. Turtles can live for centuries. One tortoise that died in 2006 was so old that it was said to be a former pet of Charles Darwin. So it appears that that very, very old turtles, 100-year-old turtles, their organs were virtually indistinguishable from those of a teenage counterpart. How about that? And we've got... Bedelloids survive by stealing DNA from other species. And the bowhead whale lives for centuries. 211 years old, this one here. Some clams are older than the United States. They can conceivably live for 405 years this clam is supposedly to have lived for. That's a long time. And finally, glass sponges can live for 15,000 years. So there you go. Animals which defy the aging process. All right, this is from TheSlate.com. People who claim to know the truth about JFK. I believe this might have been the same article that I just read today, in fact. No, this is different. Conspiracy theorists aren't really skeptics, it says. Actually, very similar. This might have been the article. They mentioned that they'd written another article the day before. That might be it right there. So thank you very much, Ryan, for that. Person asking if we're going to do a show on this. Indeed, we are. All right. This is from Rochelle. My husband made me a fan of wrestling in the Brian and Vinny show, so when I found out about After Dark, I was thrilled because I've had an interest in ghosts since I was a child. I don't believe in them, but find the research in them to be fascinating. Here's something you might find interesting. It is a documentary. This is on imdb.com, everybody, if you want to look for it. It is a documentary called My Amityville Horror, about a son in the family that inspired all the movies and media connected to Amityville. The reason it is so interesting is that it is a look at how being inside and really believing in a haunting can affect a person. That I firmly believe. The guy was a kid at the time and was really affected by the events and the subsequent media about them. I would love to have a guest on this show someday who can talk to us about the placebo effect, which, to me, if you firmly believe that you are being haunted, I don't know if really the placebo effect is the proper comparison. But I believe if you really believe that you're being haunted, weird stuff could happen to you. And I have read very interesting books about the placebo effect, or at least chapters in books about the placebo effect. It is real. The placebo effect is real. Why? Why, if a doctor gives you a sugar pill and he convinces you that if you take this pill, it is a magic pill, and your back pain will go away, why many people's back pain will go away as a result of this sugar pill? The placebo effect is the real deal. Why? And furthermore, if you can convince yourself that you are no longer in pain and your symptoms of pain disappear as a result because you believe that whatever you are taking removes your pain, what does this mean for the power of the mind and the future in terms of medical care? I mean, is there a way to harness this power? I mean, what else can you use your mind to do? I'm very interested in this topic. I honest to God believe in the power of the mind and what it can do. And that obviously would play into a lot of different things. I mean, if you're a very religious person and you have people pray for you and you, honest to God, for lack of a better term, believe in the power of prayer, then I believe that you could receive positive benefits as a result of people praying for you. That is the placebo effect. That's a very, very interesting topic. I want to thank Rochelle very much for that email. Alrighty here. Daza. One of the more widely believed JFK theories is that his assassination was a result of a U.S. military and government plot. I am puzzled by what the motive could be that would inspire this act of treason. The story I keep hearing is that Kennedy was a danger to the establishment, that he wouldn't play ball with the military. First off, I'm a political cynic. I don't think that politicians who don't play ball get into the higher echelons of office to start with. In any case, if he was such a danger, surely there were easier options to remove Kennedy than the risky assassination route. Discrediting him before the election the following year could have been easy when you consider the fact that he was, after all, a Kennedy, and the dirt that could have been revealed on him and his family would possibly have scuppered his chances for a second term. The guy was doing Marilyn Monroe, for Christ's sake. What I do find interesting is Jack Ruby's killing of Oswald, and I am open to the idea that Oswald was allowed to be killed in full view of the world. For a start, I'm amazed how little protection the killer of the president was given as he was led out. Sometimes it looks like the two men with him were almost keeping their distance from him. He seemed a lamb to the slaughter to me. Even the Warren Commission expressed concern that so many doors to the police station were unlocked, allowing Ruby to get so close. For a character like Ruby to have been motivated by patriotism, grief, or the desire to spare Jackie Kennedy the pain of a trial seems unlikely. However, as someone who witnessed hysteria surrounding the death of Princess Diana in my own country, I can say that the shock caused by an event like the killing of a president would probably make people act way out of character. Whether it was to silence Oswald or an act of vengeance upon him, I would not be surprised if Ruby was assisted by members of the police department. That is from Daza. Excellent email. This is from, I don't know who. I only have an email. But he is a wrestling fan, I can tell you that. Everything about Oswald's behavior screams guilt. He leaves his wife his wedding ring and all the money he had because he knows he won't see her again. He takes a gun to work in a package with him and tells his coworker it was curtain rods. Clearly BS, and did these supposed curtain rods ever get found? No. He flees the scene directly afterwards, even taking a taxi for possibly the first time. He is seen by several witnesses killing Officer Tippett, and he gets caught and tells one lie after another. Is that in what world, he says, is this guy a patsy or even remotely innocent? Some very good points. Very good points. This is from Colin. First off, a hello to Tom. I'm going to try to make Jamestown next summer with Mike. The most important part of the JFK assassination isn't whether or not it is a conspiracy, but rather that this event took conspiracy theories from the tinfoil hat crew into a mainstream acceptability. I think that there were two shooters, just based on the fact that the second bullet was absolutely smashed up compared to the first. I also think that the second shooter may have been an accidental shooter with the Secret Service agent who possessed a rifle that jumped into the bumper. Truthfully, I wonder if his gun went off by accident, and that was the headshot. The glory of the JFK incident is that we can all debate all day long, and nobody sounds too ridiculous to a degree. But courtesy of this event, we developed a culture that has second-guessed our government's actions ever since, regardless of the intent. As I was talking about earlier, why would the government cover something up? Let's say that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone nut. He woke up one day, he decided, I'm going to kill the president. And he goes and he procures a gun. He goes to the Texas Book Depository and he does the deed. And in the middle of doing the deed, a Secret Service agent's gun accidentally discharges and kills the president. Are you telling me that there is no chance that the government would cover up the accidental shot to the head by a Secret Service agent? How would they look if it came out that one of their own had accidentally shot the president in the back of the head? I think it's possible. I think it's possible they'd cover that up. The question is, do you think that if that happened, that in 2017 we'll know what really happened? Do you believe that if a Secret Service agent, for example, accidentally killed the president, do you think we'd ever hear about that? Would we hear about it in 55 years? Which I guess it would be in 2017? 54 years? Do you think we'd hear about that in 100 years? Do you think we'd hear about that in 200 years? Would we ever hear about it? I don't know. I would think at some point, when every last single person who was alive in 1963 was dead, maybe 2070, 2075, 2100. Maybe then it'll all come out. What do you got to lose then? Everyone's dead. Everybody responsible, dead. Maybe it would come out then. Or maybe it would never come out. All righty. Oh, no. Brock, you asked for a reminder about the Grim Reaper AIDS commercial that you could not watch last week, so here it is. Well, here we go. Oh my God. Heart attack!
At first, only gays and IV drug users were being killed by AIDS. But now we know every one of us could be devastated by it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
The fact is, over 50,000 men, women, and children now carry the AIDS virus. That in 3 years, nearly 2,000 of us will be dead. That if not stopped, it could kill more Australians than World War II. But AIDS can be stopped, and you can help stop it. If you have sex, have just one safe partner, or always use condoms. Always.
Wow. Well, there you go, everybody. That was a number of Grim Reapers throwing bowling balls at humans, including children. This person who uploaded it says it is a television advertisement screened in Australia around 1987 to alert people to the dangers of AIDS. This advert has generated considerable controversy since, as the Grim Reapers Oh, the Grim Reapers in the ads were meant to symbolize HIV, but were also taken to symbolize gay men. What? Regardless, if I'd seen that when I was 13 years old, I don't know what my life would be like today. But that would scare the living, absolute living hell out of me. There's some stuff on the internet, let me tell you. Some stuff on the internet. All right. Back to the emails here. Brock says, ever since the topic of JFK was brought up, I thought I would give my thoughts. It could be argued endlessly whether there was a conspiracy. So what needs to be considered is who could possibly pull off something like the killing of the president? Theorists often suggest the mafia, but it has been seen countless times that within the mafia, eventually, somebody is going to talk. During that era, the CIA was deposing world leaders to effect regime change, usually to prevent the spread of communism. After the Bay of Pigs, Kennedy said he would splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. Kennedy also had put in action plans to withdraw U.S. troops from Vietnam. After the assassination, President Johnson immediately reversed this decision, and escalation plans for Vietnam began based on CIA recommendation. If you believe that there was a conspiracy, and I believe there was, says Brock, including the autopsy photos, the magic bullet, difficulty of shot, Oswald's strange history, then I believe the only possible group that could be behind the conspiracy is the CIA. They had the motive, the capability, and the experience in regime change. That is from Brock. All right. This is from Frank. Unfortunately, this is a question for the guests. They are gone. His question is, if Oswald was more than just a Marxist-Communist sympathizer, and he indeed worked for Cuba and Russia, why did they not take credit for Kennedy's murder? Oswald moved to Russia and became a Marxist, but there is no proof that is known that he worked for the KGB. Did Russia cover up their connection to Oswald to avoid a war? If anybody has an answer to that question, email it to me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, after dark in the subject line, and we'll talk about it next week on the show. Another video here that has been sent to me. It says here, watch as the two Secret Service men assigned to protect President Kennedy's motorcade are ordered to stand down just minutes before entering Dealey Plaza. They are obviously not happy about being given these orders. It brings up another question. Where was NORAD on 9/11? Who was in charge and why? Well, we're not going to get into 9/11 here. There are certainly a lot of comments here. Including this guy was an Army Ranger. He says, no way Oswald acted alone. I sat in the shooter's nest twice. He could not have even seen the target. And he's, suffice to say, very upset with the CIA. This person, what if a Secret Service agent driving in the rear accidentally shot the third bullet and shot JFK? In fact, now that I think about it, there was a book about this. There was a book that somebody wrote, and I believe that was their theory, that a Secret Service agent had accidentally shot the president. Who wrote that book? Here we go. The Power of Google. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff up here. I should check this out. There we go. Mortal Error, the shot that killed JFK, is a 1992 nonfiction book describing a theory by Howard Donahue that a Secret Service agent accidentally fired the shot that killed President John F. Kennedy. There is a synopsis here. Reaction has been mixed. There was a lawsuit. It appears that, in fact, they named the agent that they believe had done this, George Hickey. Hickey ended up filing a lawsuit, which was dismissed on the grounds that he had waited too long after the book's initial publication to file suit against the publisher. He refiled suit with the paperback edition, now smart, and later settled with the St. Martin's Press for an undisclosed term. This is interesting. It says Hickey died in 2011, but then it says dubious under the source. How about that? It says no explanation was given as to why no witness or witnesses in Dealey Plaza ever testified or publicly stated they heard or saw a gunshot coming from the presidential motorcade immediately in front of them. The author, Donahue, also died in 1999. So there you go. That is, in fact, a theory. I'll have to watch this video. Thank you very much for that, Neil. And that is the mailbag, everybody. That is the mailbag. What a show it's been here tonight. This was a long one. 2 hours long? You know what that means. I got to wrap it up. I want to thank y'all for listening so much, and my debaters as well, Tom Filsinger and Ryan Thompson, had an excellent time tonight. I want to thank everybody who participated, everybody who sent emails, everybody who called, and as always, check us out, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Newest show is up there free every week. Archives are available at WrestlingObserver.com, so if you like what you hear, please consider signing up. You can consider it a donation to keeping this show going. It's $10.99 a month. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, man, what a deal that is. Shows every single day. If you're only an After Dark fan, you will get the full archive. Every show we have ever done is available in the After Dark archive, and they will always go up there for you to listen to at your heart's content. So check out AfterDarkRadioShow.com. All the information on how to subscribe, if you'd like to, is up there. And again, if you like this show, please spread the word. There are a lot of different places that, a lot of different websites, forums that cover this topic. And I know with Art Bell off the air, a lot of people looking for a new show to listen to. So if you like this show, feel free to spread the word. The show's free. So let people know about it, and let's get more participation for After Dark Radio. So that is it from here. I want to thank everybody very much for listening. We are out of here, and we'll talk to you again very soon.